on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, dear friends, salam. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Today's a special, and we want to speak about Islam and Prophet Jesus. Today, Friday, is the 26th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 10th of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Quran. We listen to chapter Maryam, verses 29 to 30.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fa'asharat ilayhi. Qalu kayfa nukallimu man kana fil mahdi sabiyya.
So she pointed to him. They said, how can we speak to one who is in the cradle, a child?
قَالَ إِنِّي عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا.
Jesus said, Indeed, I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The first word of Jesus was about servitude unto Allah, but his followers exaggerated and considered Jesus as Allah or Allah's son. By a short sentence, Jesus, peace be upon him, both banished the accusation from his mother and spoke about his own future and pointed to the future duty of people. However, the Quran in the first verse says that Mary was silent to obey the command of Allah. The only thing she did was that she pointed to her newborn child, Jesus, when her action caused the people's astonishment more than before.
Prophets all came to show people the way, to bring peace everywhere, to take evil away. Prophets all came. Prophets all came.
You're listening to today's special by IRIB English Radio. And this part, what is the status of Jesus in Islam? The Quran mentioned Jesus or Isa 25 times, but differently each time. The Quran explains that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, chapter 19, verses 20 to 21, and is high honored in this and the next world, chapter 3, verses 45 to 47. Thus he is called Isa ibn Maryam, or Jesus, son of Mary. The Quran also refers to him as a spirit from Allah, the Messiah, someone blessed by God. Word from or of Allah, and prophet of Allah, messenger of Allah. However, while Muslims accept that Jesus was a servant, teacher, and lover of Allah's word, they do not believe that he was divine or the son of God. The Quran describes the miracles Jesus performed, such as healing the sick and raising the dead, but does not ascribe these miracles to his divinity. Instead, Jesus is a sign to all humankind of God's endless mercy.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Prophet Jesus Christ. The Holy Quran says remarks it in this way: وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي تَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. When Jesus Christ went to those people, his audience, he said to them that I've come to you with explicit sagacity, with explicit reasons. وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي تَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ I'm going to explain to you some of the issues over which you may quarrel. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ Consider being God-weary, God-fearing, and follow me. It means that you follow me so that you would reach the divine path. At the same time, we find that just before the birth of Jesus Christ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent such a message to his mother, Mary, in this way. وَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ اسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ This is indicated in the Surah Al-Imran, verse 45. When the divine angels said to Mary, "Inna Allaha yubashshiruki bikalimatin," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you good tidings of receiving the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His name is Jesus. Jesus, son of Mary, وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة, reputable both in this world and in the hereafter, ومن المقربين, and one of those people who have been well nigh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope to be able to follow the such a good role model like Jesus Christ in our lives. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
A Christian said that Ruhullah means the spirit of Allah. And as Jesus is the only one called by that name, that means Jesus is Allah, as spirits are not created but pre-exist. How does one respond to that? That was the question, and now the answer. According to Islamic theology, every being that is not Allah is a created being that is not eternal or infinity pre-existing. This includes angels and spirits and other non-visible or non-human beings. In fact, in this regard, one can say it is the main difference between Islamic and Christian theology. According to Shia theology, there is a phase of existence that was before the material world. For instance, where the light of the Prophet was created. However, that phase was also created, and everyone and everything in it was also created. As the last episode of today's special, this part looks at the words of Jesus. With this content, the world and the hereafter. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, said, "The love of this world and the next cannot come together in the heart of a believer like water and fire in a single vessel." It is reported that Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said that Jesus, peace be upon him, said, "It is hard to get any good things, whether it is of the world or the hereafter. As to the good things of this world, they are hard to get because there is nothing of it which, as soon as you extend your hands to get, some profligate does not grab first, while the good things of the other world are hard to obtain because you do not find any helper who may help you to obtain it."
The Quran says, when it speaks about the miracles of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, what does he always say? Bi-idhnillah. I revive the dead, bi-idhnillah. I cure the blind, bi-idhnillah, with the permission of God. So God is actually the one who's performing the miracles. Even Jesus himself is not doing the miracle. It's Allah doing the miracle through him. So this is in Acts 2:22. In Acts 3:26, Peter, he says, Jesus was a servant of God. These are his exact words. God raised up his servant. Let me ask you this question. These descriptions, do they fit someone who's God or someone who's a slave to God, obeying God? Obeying the commandments of God. What do you say? When you hear these verses, Peter, how he understood Jesus, alayhi salam, does that show that he was divine or no? A prophet of God, a servant of God, who was simply working for the Almighty God. So we see that in most of these chapters, these authors of the Bible, they don't consider him to be God. So this tells you that the idea that Jesus is God is something came after, not during his lifetime. His closest companions, his disciples, never saw him as being God. Show us in the Bible, where did they consider him to be God? Now, by the way, the only chapter, the book in the Bible, that, you know, says some things about Jesus being divine is John. In John, there are some references that speak about, you know, Prophet Isa alayhi salam being God. For example, one passage says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus supposedly saying that. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We only find these in John. Not in Matthew. Not in Mark. Not in Luke. In John. Now John came after all of these authors of the Bible. He was one of the last authors of the Bible. How come Matthew doesn't mention any of this? This is so important. It's part of your faith, right? How come Matthew doesn't mention it? How come Mark doesn't mention it? Why did only John decide to mention it? That's number one, which tells you something fishy about that. That's number one. Number two, the book of John, do you know it was not written by John? John, you know, was one of the disciples of Jesus, alayhi salam. But the current book that we have, it's named after John, but it was not written by John. This is according to correct historical analysis that Christian scholars have attested to. It's anonymous. We don't know exactly who wrote it. A number of people, in fact, wrote it. It was written in about 20 to 25 years by several authors. You can tell from even their writing style that it's not the same author. So the book of John was written way after John lived. He was not the one who wrote it, which tells us that whoever wrote these passages, is that really what Jesus said, or they made that up? So we have indications that the book of John is not accurate in mentioning this. Because if that were the case, Matthew would have mentioned that. Some of those early writers of the Gospels, they would have mentioned that. Because look, this is big, right? That Jesus is God, that's big. How come they never mentioned any of that? Only John decided to discover that? And John didn't even write it to begin with. So there is actually no solid evidence in the Bible that Jesus alayhi salam ever said that he was God.
Dear brothers and sisters, that's all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. So, till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah, and have a nice time.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and on the eve of the new year of the Gregorian calendar, we present you an interesting saying regarding Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as related by his divinely designated vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The Messenger of Allah called me and said, O Ali, verily there is a similarity between you and Jesus, the son of Mary. Peace be upon him. The Christians love him so much that they put him in a position that was not for him. And the Jews hate him so much that they even slandered his mother. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, added, Two groups of men will be ruined because of me. He who goes to extremes in love of me for what I do not have, and he who hates me with a hatred that makes him slander me.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. It's a very beautiful tradition, but the tradition should not be taken lightly. It has to be understood in its proper context. The tradition has been narrated from or by Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, where she says that surely my father, Inna Abi, that my father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nadara ila al-Ali. That my father looked at Imam Ali alayhi salam, nadara ila Ali. So always the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would look at Imam Ali alayhi salam, in other tradition we said there was a special type of, you know, link between the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Not just that the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the Holy Prophet's cousin, or that he was his son-in-law. No, there was a deep existential, if you want to put it, you know, unique irfani or mystical bond between them that the scholars have mentioned in its right place. This is not the place to mention that. But anyway, Hazrat Zahra Salamana alayha, she continues that when my father looked at Imam Ali alayhi salam, he would say that him or this person and those of his Shia, right? And the Holy Prophet said, "Wa shi'atuhu fil Jannah." But this is important for us to understand that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the word Shia, it's not something in which we just understand that, oh, okay, we are called the Shia of Ali. No, this is not what is meant in this tradition. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning the word Shia in this tradition, it is important for us to understand that what it means to be a true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And it is those who are the true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, definitely they will be in paradise. Why? What does a Shia mean? Shia means follower. If a person exactly follows the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, there is no other place that he can go except into paradise. Because the path of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, can lead to no other place. But it's important for us to understand the word Shia. Shia does not mean that, yes, I am Shia because I believe in the 12 Imams. I mourn in the month of Muharram, for example. Or I go for Ziyarah. No, this is not what we mean by Shia. And this is explained in other traditions. That what is, or what does it mean to be a true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen? It's not something easy. It's something very difficult. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become those who are the true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Inshallah, we will end with that comment and with that dua that we hope and we pray to be of those who are the true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Allah grants us that opportunity and that tawfiq. And therefore, obviously, the result of our efforts and our works will definitely be the highest of paradise, and not just paradise itself. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Saddiq al-Minshawi. He was a prominent Egyptian reciter who was very fond of Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, and he was greatly moved by his recitations. Moreover, he was fond of listening to all of the reciters of his time. In his free time, he would tune into different radio stations to listen to the recitations of different reciters. Sheikh Muhammad Saddiq al-Minshawi, in addition to various recitations, recorded a compilation of the whole Quran in both Murattal and Mujawwad styles. Now let's listen to Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi reciting Surah al-Shu'ara verses 63 to 68, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله. In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful.
Then we revealed to Moses, saying, strike the sea with your stick. And it parted, and each separate part became like the huge, firm mass of a mountain. Then we brought near the others to that place. And we saved Moses and all those with him. Then we drowned the others. Verily in this is a sign, yet most of them are not believers. And verily your Lord is truly the Almighty, the Most Merciful.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فأوحينا إلى موسى أن اضرب بعصاك فانفلق فكان كل فرق كالطود العظيم
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was a recitation of Surah al-Shu'ara verses 63 to 68 by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi began his recitation with Maqam Bayati. The first time he recited verse 63, it was in Maqam Bayati. The second time was in Maqam Nahawand, and he continued his recitation in this Maqam until the end of his recitation, which was verse 68. And he was reciting in Hafs, then he used the the method of Warsh on Nafir. But like we've said before, most of the rules of Tajweed across the different Qira'at and Riwayat is the same for the most part. There are some differences, but the basics are the same. For example, we have the same makharij of huruf. There's no difference in the places of articulation. Okay. And the manners of articulation are also the same. We have ikhfa, we have iqlab, we have ilhar, and idgham. These are all the same across the riwayat and qira'at.
Both vowels and consonants have the same?
Yeah, they're the same. Because it's Arabic, so just sometimes the rules are different.
Sometimes I think the vowel changes when taqlil happens, for example.
Okay, yes. The vowel does not change. The way that the vowel is pronounced changes. And this is only for fatha and aliful mat.
Mm-hmm.
In warsh, we have something called taqlil, which is something which is in between a fatha and kasra, even though it's more like a fatha.
So the manner of the articulation of the vowel changes.
Yes. For example, in warsh, Musa is pronounced Musa. Musa. And even in, we have another qira'a, Hamza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the two riwayas of Hamza, they have a lot of imala. Imala means that it's halfway between fatha and kasra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for example, in the word adraka, we have adarika. This is imala.
That's okay? Right.
It sounds in between, it's like a vowel which is in between a fatha and kasra. Okay. It's a lot more inclined toward kasra than taqlil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have these differences. But like I said, most of the rules of tajweed are the same. Let's go over them.
So let's talk about common rules.
Yes. And I like how Sheikh Minshawi pronounced the dad in the phrase Emil-Lurib. You have to hold the dad whenever it is sakin without qalqala,
mm-hmm.
while applying istitala and tafkhim. This is really difficult. If you say anil dhurib, that's incorrect. It's not anil dhurib. You have to say anil dhurib.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold the dhad a little bit. Just like how Sheikh Minshawi pronounced the dhad. Then we have bi'asaka. Bi'asaka. We have
sa'd.
Tafkhim of the letter sa'd in all the riwayas.
The highest level.
The highest level of tafkhim because it has aliful mad.
Mm-hmm.
Tafkhim of the letters of isti'la are pharyngealized. Okay, we have seven letters of
isti'la.
They are, we have sa'd, lad, ta, wa, qaf, kha, and ghain. These are seven letters of isti'la. They have to always be pronounced with tafkhim.
Mm-hmm.
At varying levels of, you know, the level of tafkhim could be different depending on the vowel and or sukun. But we always have tafkhim.
Okay,
just the level might change.
They always have thickness and the raise of the tongue.
So how do we apply tafkhim for the letters of istila? We have pharyngealization. The root of the tongue raises toward the pharynx.
Mm-hmm.
All.
In addition to the actually body of the tongue sometimes.
Yes, for the four letters, sad, lad, ba, and wa, we have itabaq. Okay?
Yes.
And this includes velarization as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another rule, which is it's actually very unusual, is the word firqin. Even though the ra is sakin and preceded by a letter with a kasra,
mm-hmm.
in Hafs an Asim and most qira'at, you have to pronounce it. Actually, I think you have a choice in Habs. I'm not sure. But you could definitely pronounce it with tafkhim. Okay?
Yes.
It's more common to pronounce the ra with tafkhim because there's a letter of istirla after the ra.
That's right. Another example might be Qir Qas.
Yes. And another one, Surah Al-Fajr, we have Mir Sad. Yes. And the Qaf of this word has to be pronounced with the lowest level of Tafkhim because it has a Tanwinul Kasr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's right.
Firqin Kattawd. And then we have Ikhfa. So up to now, it's the same in all Qira'at. We have Ikhfa in the exact same way across the different Qira'at and Riwayat.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Qur'an. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints
The presence of different scholars
And God said, Let there be light And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in His image, then placed the world in His care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, and the host of this program, and our dear guest, like always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam, glad to be here.
You're welcome. In this series of programs, Viewpoint, or the Movie Critique Program, we are mainly focusing on the religious concepts rather than the artistic features typical of so-called critical programs about arts and artistic characteristics of the movies. So our main purpose is to address those features and themes which are related about religion and God and whatsoever that goes with that territory. Well, last session we started criticize the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, and today inshallah we're gonna continue our critique of the movie.
Before that, let's take a short break and listen to a part of the movie, and then we'll be back criticizing the movie.
Dick Unrecker, I'm a minister. Is there anybody here I can pray for?
Yeah, the people in those two cars over there. They're shaking, but they're fine. You can talk to them if you'd like.
What about the car up there, the one with the tarp over it?
The man in the red Ford is deceased.
I'd like to pray for him.
Well, like I said, he's dead.
I know it sounds crazy, but I have to pray for him.
You know, if that's what you want to do, go ahead, but I got to tell you, it's an awful sight. He's dead, and it's a real mess under that tarp. There's blood and glass everywhere, and the body's all mangled. Well, I got to warn you, you do what you want, but you've never seen anybody this bad.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. You just listened to a part of the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. That's a 2015 Christian drama film directed by Michael Polish. And Sayyid Abdullah, let me ask you this question. You know, in that particular part, which happens around minute 15, when this priest experiencing the car accident and he's allegedly pronounced dead, there comes another priest, all right, and he feels very sorry for this guy. He didn't know that this guy was a priest, one of his colleagues or something. And then he goes, like, he insists on praying for this dead person and convince the officer at the scene to go into the car, although it was very dangerous or something, and they didn't want him really to go there. But he insisted, and then he does it. And at the end, it happens that, like, his prayer is answered or something like that, all right? Why is it so important to pray for the dead, well, like in this case, or let me just somehow soften it down to not the dead, but the sick. Does the prayer really apply to other people, and does God really listen to the prayers of other people, like, about the sick, for example?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it comes to prayer, obviously, I'm speaking from an Islamic perspective here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one, He said, pray to me, right? He says, لَوْلَا دُعَا مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاكُمْ. Allah would not even consider you. He would not even look at you. He would not even give you a second chance or a second look if it wasn't for your dua. So Allah deliberately, He says, I might twist and turn things around.
Yes.
Just so I can hear you talk to me. Well, that's a way of, you know, the irony of Allah's humor, right? He slaps you on the cheek. He's like, oh, God, why? And like, oh, you're talking to me. This is how He wants it, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when He says, if there's someone sick, pray for him. I can cure, obviously. The cure is in my hand. It's not the tablets, not the surgery. It's me who cures. But I want to hear you pray. I want to hear you talk. I want to hear you supplicate. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So when a person gets sick, or when a person falls in a car, in a car accident, for example, whatever, our first response, because we feel so hopeless to help such a person, and we know there's nothing that we can do, but in our mind, we know for sure there is only one entity that is able to help such a person, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
So we automatically turn to Allah in supplication and in dua, and we ask Allah for a cure. So it's you could almost say it's a human embedded programming that whenever you're in need, or you see someone in need and you feel hopeless to help, you just supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think this is how Allah wants it at the end of the day.
You mean it's something quite inherent in people. Whenever you see somebody like in misery, in trouble, your heart goes out.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. And Allah says, okay, this is time for you to talk to me. I can answer. If I feel that you're sincere in your prayer, you're sincere in your love and compassion towards that person who is sick, I will answer. And you see that happens many times.
The key term, compassion. Thank you very much. Let's take a break and listen to another part of the movie, and we'll be back criticizing this movie in this program, Viewpoint.
He's in bad shape. Emotionally, there's no will to live.
is there left for us to do?
Pray.
We all have talents. David's was organizing. He was able to rally churches from all over the world to pray for me, simply by faxing them.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about or criticizing the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. Brother Hussein, you know, in that part, well, they are praying together, like in congregation. I just wanted to ask you this. What good does it do? Is it like congregational prayer better than single prayer?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To answer that question, I'm going to say one thing.
Yes.
Inna Allah yuhibbu al-jama'ah. That basically means that Allah likes, you know, congregations, because with unity there's strength. Allah likes to see His servants united to achieve one goal for one cause. And to elaborate on what Brother Abdullah said, Allah likes to listen to His servants pray to Him. So praying as a group really makes that bond even stronger, and that sincerity even, you know, stronger, I guess. Allah goes as far as saying that, you know, you even get more merits if mm-hmm. you pray jama'ah. So, you know, if you're considering doing something alone, maybe consider doing it together with other people so that you can get more merit.
Yes, exactly. And I remember one of the lessons that I was taking, or the classes of one of my Canadian teachers, who always said that like approving the congregation rather than the single supplication type, you know. And he was saying it was also approved in some of the studies, like in Japan, for example. You know, the scientists put different monkeys in different, like, islands
mm-hmm.
That were disconnected. No connection, no link whatsoever, you know? And when one of the monkeys found out a way to wash and rinse one of the sweet potatoes in one of the islands, then everybody rushed to him and learned it from that monkey, Ima the monkey. And then it was quite surprising that the other monkeys on the other islands, without even touching or seeing or experiencing or learning, because mm-hmm. they were not in touch, they were not in contact with the other monkeys on the other islands, mm-hmm. all right? So they automatically learned it. It's quite surprising. This is one of the Japanese studies, all right, about like teaching or learning from others while having no even contact or touch.
Very interesting.
Let's take a listen to another part of the movie 90 Minutes, and we'll be back criticizing this part and the whole movie in the next part of the program Viewpoint, the movie critic program on IRIB English Radio.
It's about what the hospital can get from the insurance company.
But what about our case, our settlement?
Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news, but the bad news takes out the good news, so all we're left with really is bad news.
What?
Well, in Texas, state employees are indemnified by the state of Texas.
Okay, how does this affect us?
Well, the state, in this case Texas, has put a cap on all damages that are able to be collected in any lawsuit against the state. And the cap is $250,000. Now, insurance companies, they have subrogation rights, which means that they're going to put a lien against any kind of claim and settlement or any funds received from a lawsuit to cover their medical expenses. In other words, your insurance company is going to take all the money.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. Sayyid Abdullah, in that part, there is the talk of the insurance companies, all right? and how these companies deceive and rob people. It happens everywhere. It's like an epidemic or pandemic, all right? Worse than lots of viruses sometimes.
Yep.
They come and take your money when you want to insure, for example, a property of yours, and then they don't like pull a kind of like something like an obstacle or anything on the way to receive the money from you. But when it comes to give it back in return, well, they come up with all kinds of trouble, all kinds of laws, all kinds of loopholes to get rid of you one way or another. Isn't it right, really?
Well, I mean, this is how they make the money, right? I mean, if they give money back to every claim they get, they'll be broke in no time. It's like if every house is burns, and they have to pay back instantly, then obviously they'll go broke. If every person dies, they pay life insurance, they'll go broke.
So they don't profit without giving their promised services.
Like
back
you said, so it's easy to take from people. They convince you to give, and they give you promises that they will give you back in your time of need. But when that actually happens, you'll be surprised of how hard it is to get what you've been promised. And most people end up suffering because of that, because they just simply don't want to give you that money. Or even if they want to give, they was like, oh, you know what, we can, like you said, you know, he said the state has a policy of, like they capped it up to $250,000. That's it. Like, we don't care how much the damage is. You get, if you would get anything, it would be $250,000. For example, your life insurance could be $800,000, or it could be $1 million, or $1.5 million, but you're still not going to get anything because the state has already capped it. So that's how insurance companies work. They just work based on manipulating people and stealing people's money.
Yes, exactly. There is another part that I would like you to listen to, and we'll be back talking about it.
It's just as good as it's ever going to get. I don't want to be a burden. I was just trying to get back to Alvin, and you took me to heaven. Oh, can't you take me back? Now, I want to go back to heaven. My home. My home is heaven now. Oh, Jesus, let me come back home, please.
You just listened to a part of the movie 90 Minutes in this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, in this part, the priest, Don Piper, right, he's complaining to God that why he didn't let him pass
away.
Yes. And why is it that whoever, or most of those people who experience out-of-body experiences, all right, I've seen and heard a couple of these guys, those who have experienced these kinds of like events, experiences, they don't want to return to life. They don't want to come back. Is it so sweet or delicious over there? Like, because of the pure joy they feel when they experience another realm of existence, that they don't want to come back to this like troublesome world?
I don't know about delicious, but yeah, well, see, personally, I haven't experienced one of these experiences. I would love to, but yeah, I guess it makes sense. Life isn't heaven, and that's why heaven exists, right? Because life is full of struggle and hardships, so it's only natural for these people who experience these experiences to not want to come back. But sometimes God sends them back just so that they can... You know, for different reasons. I mean, from the top of my head, I can think of, you know, showing that, you know, this is a miracle and that God exists. You know, he sends this person back from the dead. Like, how does that happen? Does that even happen? And when it happens, we know it's a miracle because nothing like this ever happens usually. So,